right, hello, welcome to episode 23 of Dailyish. It's Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. 13 degrees outside here in Saskatoon. But once again, this is not a weather podcast. This episode of Dailyish is brought to you by Campaign Monitor. Campaign Monitor makes sending email a beautiful, fun experience. You can send an email campaign in a jiffy. I think that's a Canadian phrase. I don't know. They have template design, template builder, responsive email templates. You can get it set up and ready in 60 seconds or less if you're even quicker. With their newly released iOS app, you can monitor your account right from your phone. So go to campaignmonitor.com and get started today. Thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Dailyish. This episode you can find on the website at goodstuff.fm/dailyish/23. And since it's Tuesday, as I mentioned in the last episode, I still don't have a good name for it, but Tuesdays, Thursdays, maybe we'll do, or I'm going to start doing a little bit of link tech talk building news stuffy and good stuff. And I brought along a friend, former co-host of another podcast that's since gone to the great podcast graveyard in the sky, Blaine Cordy. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
You're the first.
Happy to be here.
First guest on Dailyish. Maybe the last. We'll see. See how it goes.
Haven't you booked somebody for Thursday?
Tentatively. No, next week. Oh. So next week. Oh. So we'll see. You're the guinea pig.
Sweet.
So we're just gonna we're gonna do the rundown. I have some links. You have some stuff. We'll run down a few things and chat about them briefly and kind of stuff that's going on in our world that we find interesting that maybe you, the listener, would find interesting as well. And like I said, you can visit the site goodstuff.fm/dailyish/23 to find the links we're talking about. First one, I'll just get out of the way right away that I know is not of any interest to Blaine. If you're a Minecraft nerd or a parent with Minecraft kids who are into Minecraft, and they play it on the PC or Mac, not Xbox or iPad or whatever those versions are, there's a Twitter friend pointed out to me this insanely huge and getting bigger as we probably by the day Minecraft mod that's Lord of the Rings Minecraft mod. And so I'll just throw a link to it. I hadn't come across it before. It's fairly intense, as you might expect a Lord of the Rings based fan thing to be. It's not just, you know, your Minecraft Steve guy has a elvish ears or something. Like, this is intense. The actual world is to scale, apparently. So getting from the Shire to Gondor or wherever, I'm not up on my Middle Earth geography, but will take you a long time. And so just looking through some of the pictures, and like, they're going into, you know, they don't have just one orc, they have all the different types of orcs and things in the game. So if you're, you know who you are, if that is interesting to you, this would be a very big interest to you. So
if I liked Minecraft, I would like this.
Have you ever played Minecraft? However,
no, I've kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like World of Warcraft to me. And I know they're not the same.
Send Blaine.
If I start getting into that kind of stuff, it's going to consume my life, and I have enough of those things.
Yeah, that's how definitely World of Warcraft is
my
for
fear.
Me. I like what I like about Minecraft. This isn't the Minecraft podcast, but we what I like about Minecraft with my son.
Do you have one of those?
Not yet. We're talking about it. Oh. Is that it's easy to go in and out. There's no like end goal that you have to like keep pushing towards.
Right.
And so it is a little different that way, but yeah, it definitely doesn't ever end either. Next couple items, both related to Instagram. We'll cover both of these quickly. And the first one is, I guess, the good. They released version 6. I don't know if you've downloaded it yet. They basically added some photo manipulation, editing, creative tools, saturation.
I haven't used it, but
yeah, and I was skeptical at
first.
It's
only going to get better.
Yeah. I was skeptical at first that it would be just kind of like hokey, but actually it's, you can dive into some pretty deep controls, I guess, and adjust settings for, yeah, like I said, saturation, sharpening it, whatever, highlighting shadows, that kind of stuff that do make, you know, especially as your phone gets, I mean, like the 5S camera is insanely good camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense to have that kind of stuff built in rather than, you know,
it's depressing because it makes me leave my SLR at home that I spent way too much money on.
Yeah, I know.
In hindsight. but like, I don't know, half of the fun of taking photos with my SLR is A, getting the shot in person, and then B, turning that into the cool shot that I see online, or, you know, playing with them in that sense. So, yeah. I mean, the further we go down that rabbit hole in terms of direct manipulation and not predefined filters, the better.
Yeah.
And that's only going to get better in iOS 8.
Yeah, exactly, as they add extensions to other, so you could...
And I think you can get deep into exposure in the APIs and, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Actual, you know, camera things that the phone's assuming right now and deciding on its own.
Right, so you could dial it. Like, it's kind of... Like, right now, it's a software thing where you're... It's not like you're actually adjusting what the camera is doing. You're kind of faking it if you're tapping the exposure.
You're taking the photo and then manipulating it after.
Yeah.
And if you, just like a point and shoot does, and if you get exposure control, at least you're getting closer to the manual side of things that you wouldn't want to use all the time, but you can. And, you know, you can, I don't know. There's lots of times where, you know, it's dark scene, I want to take a picture of outside, but there's something, or inside, but there's something bright window in the corner and my phone's focusing on that. And I, for the life of me, can't make it ignore that part. And I just want to blow out that corner and I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be really good as we get better.
Yeah. And one little feature, better I think controls. This is becoming like an iOS and maybe Android standard too, but we're on many photo manipulation apps. I know iPhoto for iPhone had this, where basically once you apply some effects, you tap on your photo just to preview the before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just kind of a neat way to see, because often you sort of get lost in editing stuff and you forget what it actually maybe looked like originally and whether you've actually made it many changes and stuff. So related or unrelated, I don't know.
Related-ish?
Yeah. Instagram also announced plans, which we've heard about before, but this is kind of like, okay, now this is official, incorporate ads into its photo feed later this year, in quotations, to subscribers in the UK, Canada, and Australia. So I don't know if this is already in the States. Just, I don't know.
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Facebook ads as it's in the news feed right now, as it stands?
I find them annoying and not really that applicable to what... Here's what I find. I guess it's getting better, but ads in general, it feels like it's becoming almost so, like you do. I do a Google search for a small orange web hosting company, right? And that's just one recent one.
I used them ages ago.
Yeah, they seem really good. I've heard about them. So here's an ad for them.
like literally 8 years ago.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, this is a long time ago. Anyways, that's tough.
Link will be in the show notes because I have an affiliate link to them. but anyways, you do a Google search for them, and then all of a sudden, now that's all I see on Facebook and everywhere else on the web too, is like a small orange web links. Or like when Good Stuff was selling their t-shirts, like I kind of like, all of a sudden on some random website, I see an ad for our t-shirt on this website, right? And like, it's just targeted to me because I looked at, what's the company, the shirt company, anyways. And, so then you see it everywhere. And so it kind of like, it almost becomes too much where you're just like, okay, I get it. You're targeting me and now I'm going to tune you out even more. Like,
I totally agree. And I switched to DuckDuckGo for a few weeks just to try and get away from that.
Oh yeah.
And I just couldn't keep up with it. The search results sucked, but, or weren't, I think it was more just, when I searched for programming things, I couldn't get exactly where I wanted to. That following, that tiny topic following you around for 3 weeks is really annoying. But I don't know if that's as much Facebook as it is Google.
Right. So getting back to what you're saying, so Facebook ads in the feed, this ads in the Instagram feed, then what are you implying? Or?
Well, I guess for me, those newsfeed ads really sucked at the beginning. And then maybe as it got more popular or advertisers kind of came on or what, I don't know what it was, but I feel like they're not as bad now. And maybe it's just that I'm getting used to it. And I'm not saying they're good by any stretch, but I don't sigh in my head every time I see one, you know, like it doesn't stand out to me. I don't loathe them.
Yeah.
So, and Instagram's maybe this is also just me recently, but I've been spending more time on it, and I don't know, I really see the power of Instagram, and it's lightweight. It's this, yeah, it's this another social network, but it's almost, I guess this was predicted many times, but it's the another Twitter. It's lightweight. I can just follow who I want. I can like things as I go. I can toss a picture up. And as a potential advertiser, I really like that.
Right, because you could throw your stuff in that feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the engagement of that ad would be way higher than even Facebook.
Yeah, from the business side.
And it's all mobile.
Yeah, I totally would. It's appealing, cause, especially because, you know, you look at your Instagram feed and it's like you see a photo and that's all you see. You're not seeing your photo in the sidebar and the whatever. And, you know, like when you're looking on the website, on a website. And so here it's like your ad, whatever it happens to be, some creative photo that you have with a copy along the bottom, presumably, or whatever, you know, will be the only thing they basically see. As they swipe,
yeah, or at least past. Half of what they see.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just in that I know many podcasts and blog posts and whatever have wrung their hands over this. It just feels like the whole making money off advertising idea is good and or is understandable, but like they've still never made any effort to try and just charge for anything, you know, and that whole idea of the fear of charging for something to make some money, like.
That's a tough one.
But
like, that's a whole different topic. But it's tough to charge for. What do you charge for Facebook? Like,
yeah. Well, on Instagram, you could charge filters and, you know, pro features, let's say. But I know it doesn't scale. It doesn't make enough money that advertising would. So
it's got to be worth more for this to ever stop. Something like that has got to be worth more than an ad.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be, you know, what's an ad? What am I worth for 2 weeks of an ad? What does that charge? Maybe it's 5 cents. Maybe it's a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, every 2 weeks. Whatever you're going to pay has got to be more than that.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Try to be brief-ish. I know it's hard when you have opinions. One neat thing.
Just have an opinion.
After this one, you can throw. I gave you rules for the show. This is the beta. We'll say this is 23B, the beta version of this episode. You'll get your money back if you don't enjoy it. The iOS 8. So iOS 8 for iPhone and iPad devices, iOS devices coming out later this fall. Apple announced some features and stuff at their WWDC keynote and event last week or a couple weeks ago now. One thing that kind of stuck out that was kind of random, but is that they're going to randomize your Mac address of your device as it connects to various networks. And which sounds like, well, it probably sounds like geek speak if you're not at all familiar with what that means, but basically and correct me if I'm wrong here, but like your device has an address that it uses to connect to a wireless access point. And you can, as a network administrator, they can lock down their network by saying only these devices with these specific addresses are allowed on this network. It's different than your phone number or your IP address and things like that. It's actually it's a hardware address to your network card or your Wi-Fi access device in your phone, let's say. And so
48-bit. So there's, I just like looked it up on Wikipedia. So it's like 281 trillion possible Mac addresses out there.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like one number is going to follow you, or it's not like your laptop and your phone are going to have the same one or something like that.
Or be even remotely close or anything. Yeah. And what's neat to me is with this, so that what they're proposing to do in iOS 8 is when you connect to a, presumably through software, like Confusion or whatever, basically, I would guess for certain networks or public networks or when it's just scanning for networks, basically it'll randomize that MAC address so that, because what can happen is airports and, you know, public spaces where you access Wi-Fi access points, they can save your MAC address and then remember you when you come back again, right? Is that?
And it's not, as far as I know, it's not just when you sign on to a,
right,
a
it's
Wi-Fi
just grabbing
hotspot.
It.
It's when you're, like, as you walk by a business and your Wi-Fi is on and your Wi-Fi or and your phone is phone's Wi-Fi is on and your phone is actively searching for Wi-Fi networks that it knows, it pings, sends a request of some kind, just, hey, who are you? Or what's your Wi-Fi name? Just gets general information from every single Wi-Fi router it finds. Right now, with every device out there, it's saying, okay, my MAC address is 01234567898B. It's that same number for all of them. So as you walk down the street from one end of the street to the other end, every one of those places along the way sees that same address and can say, okay, that person walked from here to there. And so take that a little further, go into a big mall, and if you have 300 of those devices around, or of the routers around the mall, now they can see the path that you took. Maybe along the way, some you paid with your phone or whatever. They got your name somehow.
Yeah.
And tied that name to your MAC address, which is entirely plausible. They could say, okay, they walked into this store, didn't buy anything, walked into this store, didn't buy anything, and then walked into your store and bought something. They can do all that kind of stuff. So randomizing that MAC address is kind of a big deal on that sense.
Yeah.
And so there is no tracking possibility if that's gone, because no other information is sent with those pings.
Yeah. Short of you actually signing into a Wi-Fi network, like actually saying, okay, I want to join this Wi-Fi network, whether it's free or whatever. And MAC address, I should clarify too, has nothing to do with Mac computers. It's
universal. Say that too.
Like Windows, Android devices
all
have
a MAC address.
It stands
for Media Access Control.
There you go.
Address, not
and I don't know this, like I haven't read this in great degree, but the alternative world of Android where Google kind of like seems to be obviously in favor of advertising a lot more than Apple would. Apple doesn't make money off advertising. And so they, in Google's world, it's kind of like they would want this more open. They want to offer this to businesses and as a service, as a feature, and just like there's somewhere in the middle is where we should probably be. But like, as business owners and marketers, you want to be able to make better use of the client information, just the same way they have cameras following people's paths through their stores. They can figure out where they should put stuff and all that kind of thing. Nothing new about that, but it gets a little bit level
Go to any IKEA to see that in action.
Yeah, totally. You get a little different level of creepy, though, when they know your name and your exact shopping patterns. Because they could theoretically say, oh, Chris came into this mall on the 1st of the month, the 5th of the month, and the 12th of the month, and he bought this thing this time, this thing this time. And you extrapolate it further, and pretty soon, you just like now when you browse Facebook, pretty soon you could walk into the mall, and all of a sudden the kiosk ad changes to like a small orange website company or whatever.
Or you get home and Amazon sends you the price of something that you picked up in the store.
Right, exactly.
Or walked near and stopped at a computer, or you stopped to look at a TV, and somewhere along the way somebody captured that information, and now you walk up to or you go home, it knows that you stopped there for 15 seconds and you didn't stop anywhere else. That sends you TV ads.
Yeah.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. And I know you and I both, like, we live in both worlds, as both the consumer, but also on the marketing creation business side. And there's fun to be had with that, but also it gets kind of creepy. So,
yeah. The devil's advocate of this whole change for Apple is that they have iBeacons. And I don't know if I didn't read the article, but I saw something about it that could be viewed as both a PR stunt and that's the wrong way to say it, but as an incentive for people to use iBeacons, because that would be how Apple would allow you to be tracked.
Right.
And if you had iBeacons all over the place, and
which is through Bluetooth, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a link. Bluetooth low energy. So it's a little better, and well, it's a lot better.
Yeah, it's sort of
better use.
Yeah. And shorter range possibly than Wi-Fi, but also I'll throw a link in the show notes to just an explanation of what iBeacon, but they could theoretically, then I would guess the Apple way of doing it though would be like will explicitly ask your permission to allow
advertisers
to use iBeacon as opposed to this Wi-Fi method.
And you probably would have to have that app downloaded.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole protocol there, but there at least there is a protocol, which helps.
So, let's see. What do you want to... Any of your topics you want to grab?
We can keep going on your... Or we can do that last one of yours.
Okay. Quick one. Lighter one.
Oh, you have two.
There's a iPhone case. If you're ever in an emergency where you don't have a beer or a bottle opener, not necessarily just beer. there's a case, iPhone case. I just thought I'd bring this to people's attention that has a beer or a bottle opener built into the case. I can't imagine this being a very comfortable case to carry in your pocket all the time. You'd probably rip, if you're anything like me, your pockets would get ripped apart because mine do as it is. And
your keys and stuff.
Yeah, with keys and stuff. So just for that special trip, I guess. I don't know.
I would never buy one. However, I have the belt that I wear every day has a bottle opener on the back. And I know lots of people with sandals with bottle openers on the bottom of them. Very useful thing to have with you at all possible times.
I wonder if that is that a Canadian thing, do you think?
I don't think so.
I know there's non-Canadian.
I know my belt and I know the sandals brand that I'm thinking of. They're American brands.
Okay.
So I don't think so.
If you're in the middle of a snowstorm, at least you have your bottle opener.
The other thing is, how many people drink bottles that need an opener?
Yeah, it's like definitely.
I do because I drink nerd craft beer, but normal people don't.
Yeah, it's definitely less than what it used to be, that's for sure. So there you go. Just for your attention, in case you're one of those folks who's desperate, needs one.
It comes in handy, let me tell you. And it is very creepy pulling off your belt to open some beer, especially around family.
Yeah. Or a stranger in the bar. Like.
Yeah, that too.
If you're meeting your special lady friend there. Last one I had was the over on boingboing.net. Now that I've seen this, I feel like I saw an article debunking this, so maybe I'm... But Star Wars Episode 7 is being filmed, as we know. J.J. Abrams is directing it. Spy shots of the Millennium Falcon and possibly an X-Wing being built. I think I mentioned this in an earlier episode of this, where... I guess the only episode of this type of link show, where J.J. Abrams seems to be using real-world stuff as opposed to just CG-based things. And this seems to be another confirmation of
which
that.
Is awesome.
Yeah. Because it's... Yeah. As much as acting is, the actors are good and getting used to the green screen and all that kind of stuff, there's still got to be just so much easier to act with a physical thing that you get to run around in.
And it's more natural, and I totally for it. I don't know what building materials were like in the 70s in terms of like trussing and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to like look at these pictures to see if there's anything that says that they're new or old.
Oh, like
that X-Wing
reusing.
Looks weird, first of all.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just because I haven't watched the movies in a couple of years. But that X-Wing does look different.
And you sort of wonder how much...
Did they use injection mold? Or that's not injection mold, that's probably fiberglass mold. But did they use that in the 70s? I don't know.
Yeah. You weren't even
box,
born in the 70s.
That box looks like it... No, I wasn't. that box looks like it has some weird shipping label that could be a barcode on it.
Yeah, if there's anything...
I got nothing.
Star Wars nerds will have dissected this by now, I'm sure, and critiqued it.
I should have just read the comments. Guaranteed there's something in there.
That's what I have. You want to pick? We're at 25 minutes. 24 minutes already. I don't, it always takes up more time than you think, but... maybe pick one of your things for this week.
Sure.
Which
let's do the NSA and Ed Snowden thing.
Yeah.
So everybody knows the story. A spy reveals a whole bunch of secrets, private secrets, government secrets that the NSA is taking, tracking your phone calls and text messages and emails. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? I think it's bad. What do you think?
That's a good quick summary. I think...
I think it's been played out enough that most people will know.
Yeah. No, I know. Not that story. I just mean... I think that... it's a whole crazy ball of there's obviously information that came out that is good to know, or is scary to know, is going on. And I'm glad that we know what we know now. But by the same token, I don't think that, that necessarily makes it right what he did. And he should be not like tried. I don't think he should be tried as a traitor or any of those kinds of things. But I feel like there has to be some sort of consequences for revealing. You know, I don't know the story well enough to know whether he tried to get information out to parties that would help. You know, like sort of like in a movie where, whatever, I'm trying to remember, like there's that Will Smith.
24. Have you ever watched?
No, I haven't.
That's as close of a of an analogy as I can think of.
But yeah, somebody who's like, okay, I'm going to try my boss, and I'm going to try the boss's boss, and I'm going to try the vice president, I'm going to try the president, or whatever, you know, and then, and nobody believes him, and then finally he has to like, okay, I'm going to release this to the press, and then whatever, you know, et cetera. And so, and maybe that is exactly what happened, or, but it's, and it, like, it's a complicated, you had mentioned Al Gore was chatting or tweeting about it or something, or.
Yeah. And I was, that's what made me think of this today specifically. Because he said, I could probably find the tweets, but he said something along the lines of, what he did was a good thing. And as far as I know, that's the first politician, former politician that I've seen that said it was a good thing, or that was near the White House.
Yeah, Gore, just one article I found from thehill.com. Gore's comments are a sharp rebuke to other top government and intelligence figures who have said that Snowden's leaks have had a drastic effect on the ability of the United States to defend itself from terrorists and foreign enemies. So,
Al Gore says Snowden revealed far bigger violations than the one he committed.
Yeah. And it's
which is different than anything I've heard.
Yeah. He's, Al Gore kind of operates in this, must be in this kind of different world from other politicians where he doesn't really have to worry about appeasing people. He doesn't, you know, his wife isn't a senator like Clinton or whatever. And there's not, he's just doing his own thing now. And he was the vice president, so he wasn't the president. And yeah. Kind of vice presidents, I think, can get away with a lot more than the presidents can after post presidency. So, but
now, what do you think Canada has
in a similar, like, as far as what are they doing? Or,
yeah, they've got to have something. Like, I'm not saying that they're listening to every phone call, but
yeah, and it's, I mean,
CSIS, is that the
CSIS
Canadian spy agency?
Something, Canadian Service. Security Intelligence Service is the Canadian.
Ah.
And I mean, the joke would be that anything Canada has military-wise or intelligence-wise is going to be, you know, some, just like our submarines always fall, or helicopters or whatever, you know, like our comparison to the Americans.
They build new ones. We buy the used ones.
Yeah, exactly. So we get their guys, the people who couldn't hack it in the FBI, come and work. I don't know. Somebody's listening probably right now. And it gets messy with the web too, where, like, there's one thing, it's phone calls are one thing, but with the web, where so much of our data and traffic is routed through the states anyways, whether we want to or not, like this call, I'm sure, like on Skype, is hitting some U.S. data center somewhere, if not some other foreign country that they have even less rules about it. And there's no reason to think that it couldn't be. I mean, I'm also recording this in case you weren't aware. People will listen to this conversation afterwards. But I don't know. I think
I've never been on a podcast before. I don't know how this works.
I think in Canada it's going to be less, but still definitely goes on. But I would guess it's probably more targeted than just like taking. I would guess we don't have the resources to just be capturing reams and reams of data, you know, in the same scale that the NSA would be. But
yeah, I don't know. Something tells me that they got to be doing something. They got to be doing something.
So then, do you hope for a Snowden-like character to reveal some of this stuff?
I would hope that our government isn't doing as bad of stuff as they are.
Right. So as long as we're not as bad.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
That's not what I think is true, but.
All right. Well, if you're out there from CSIS and you have an opinion, you can email me anonymously, chris@goodstuff.fm, or if you have thoughts about this show. If you have thoughts about whether Blaine should come back, I don't know. We'll see.
Keep this to yourself. I'm kidding.
This is the American Idol of podcasting. Vote him off, or Survivor, I guess. Vote him off the island.
Explain two.
Yeah, I wonder if we don't do that. Get charged some money. Yeah, this is, like I said, this is episode 23 of Dailyish. goodstuff.fm/dailyish/23. You can find Blaine on the web at bcordy on Twitters and everything from there. I'm iChris on Twitters. And goodstuff_fm on Twitter. What else was I going to say? Thank you to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode. I will be back possibly on Thursday, but definitely next week with another co-host who has wanted to step in and try doing some tech talk. And if you have a suggestion for a better name, I'd love to hear it. Chris@goodstuff.fm or Good Stuff, or iChris on Twitter, like I said. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.